Have you ever noticed that when you tell a story, whether it's a family story or a story of your work or a story that you had heard or a movie you've seen, it's always in context? There's something going on that makes that story come to your head and your heart and you share it. Well, that's happening here with Jesus. I want us to think about, before he tells the parables that we always seem to focus in on the sheep and the coin, there's more to this story than the sheep and the coin. There's why he told the story. So what's going on here? Well, it begins with now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the grumblings of the scribes and the Pharisees that this fellow welcomes sinners, and eats with them. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He's out there eating with sinners. Can you imagine that? But what's bothering them more isn't just that he welcomes them and eats with them, but they're also starting to gather around them. Now remember, in ancient times, a sinner was considered unclean in the times that Jesus was walking the earth. So Jesus was hanging around with unclean people, and he didn't have his Purell hand sanitizer with him. Can you imagine that? They shared food, and they shared conversations. And in Bible study, someone has a New Living Translation, and I think the term was marvelous sinners. I'm not really quite certain, but or extravagant sinners. So the sense that Jesus wasn't just notorious sinners. He wasn't just hanging out with someone we might consider a sinner. We knew they were a sinner when we saw who he was hanging out with. So those who are unclean are considered on the outside. And the ones who are grumbling and complaining, the Pharisees and the scribes, they're on the inside. They're clean. And here's this rabbi who should be clean, hanging out with those unclean people, in fact, welcoming them and eating with them. So he's not telling the sinners or the tax collectors these parables. He's telling the Pharisees and the scribes. So when we think about that, that's his audience. That's his target audience. These are the ones who have grumbled about where Jesus is going and what Jesus is doing and who he's eating with. So he shares this story. He tells them about shepherds and sheep. And in those days, every sheep cost you something in terms of your economy. So to lose one lost some profit coming in. So they were a commodity in that way. But also, they were special to those shepherds. And here he reminds them, which one of you would just simply let a sheep go? Oh, that one just wanted to go to a different pasture. Oh, that one might have liked that shepherd better. Or that one liked how the sound of this shepherd's voice. Or this grass over here was better. So it's okay, they just left. We can deal with that. No, that's not what the shepherd does. And he says, you guys wouldn't do that either. You would go searching for your lost sheep. You would search and search and search until you found it. So I wanted to get a sense of what that was like. So I had this wonderful book by Dr. Timothy Lanek. And it's While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks. And what Dr. Lanek did is he went to the Bedouin in the desert and studied the shepherds. So he shares a story about this woman by the name of Mrs. Arif. Her group of shepherds had gotten to the point that the men were now working in the city and working for the government. So the only one who was shepherding was Mrs. Arif. And the family joked that she was bringing in more money than those working for regular jobs. And they even joked that she loved her sheep more than her children. But she tells this story. One day, to her immense distress, Mrs. Arif lost track of one of her ewes. Because sheep regularly mingle with other flocks at common pastures during the day, she checked with her neighbors that night to see if the ewe had gone home with someone else. Can you imagine that? one of our ewes going home with someone else. But none of them had seen the missing creature. She inquired among some distant neighbors over the next week, but no one had noticed a stray or found unidentified remains. Weeks turned into months without a sign of the missing ewe. And then one day, 2 months later, a large flock came from the village, led by a hired shepherd. As was still her habit, Mrs. Arif asked the young man if he had come across a lost sheep. And as the words passed her lips, one of the ewes in the solid pack of passing sheep lifted up her head, immediately recognizing the sound of her owner's voice. And Mrs. Arif screamed with delight and rushed through the startled mass to embrace her lost sheep. It didn't take long before the whole village heard the commotion and shared in the reunion. Her flock was now complete again. So why these stories? Why did Jesus tell his story, and why did I tell you that story? Because when Jesus tells a parable, normally somewhere is God. God is the shepherd in this parable. We could say God is Mrs. Arif in this story, who seeks not to send people off into distant pastures, but to seek them until they are returned home, and is not satisfied until his flock is complete. So where are we in this parable? Where are we in this parable? Because there seems to be a party going on, doesn't there? There's a party in Mrs. Arif's house. There's a party with the shepherds and even with the woman with the lost coin. There's a party after the coin is found. Are we going to the party? Are we excited about that which is lost has become found? So we can either be those who are lost or those who need to party with the ones who are found. Or maybe, just maybe, God is calling us to be the seekers because Christ has died and is in heaven and we are his hands and his feet and we are the ones to go seeking the lost. So if we are to do that, that must mean we have to go where sinners are. That must mean that we have to go and be in the places where people need to hear the saving story of Jesus Christ. That would mean we have to witness to our own story, just as in this context, Jesus witnessed in a story and a parable of lost things about what needed to be found and what we do when it's found. Now, those of you who are Bible scholars know there's more to this story. In this chapter, it continues on to be the prodigal son's story. And we spend a lot of time with that prodigal son and the father's excitement over him. But I want us to think again that it begins, this whole group of stories begins with the tax collectors, sinners, and the Pharisees and the scribes. And Jesus is talking to them the whole time. I really think the parable of the prodigal son is about the second son. When he comes in and he sees the party and he's very angry with his father and he tells his father, "For all these years I have been working like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed your command, yet you had never even given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours," he doesn't even own him as a brother, "when this son of yours came back who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." And then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, Because this brother of yours, reminding him again of that relationship, was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. Luke never finishes the story. We don't know what the other brother does. We don't know if he remains grumbling and complaining like the scribes and the Pharisees. We don't know if he decides to come to the party. Will we come to the party if suddenly, here in this place, our pews are filled with sinners? Will we come to the party as they come to the altar and profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Will we celebrate with the angels in heaven for their reconciliation with God? Or will we choose not even to invite them to the party? God does some real amazing things sometimes. And I never think that the lectionary is something he does things amazing with. I always think it's human beings that play with that thing. But this was the lectionary reading the week before. We are inviting people to worship. We are inviting people to fill our pews. That we are inviting people to feast with us after worship with some barbecue chicken. So my challenge to all of you here is, are we going to invite anyone? Are we inviting anyone to this party? Are we remembering who is no longer in our pews? And are we seeking them out to find them? Are we seeking the least, the last, and the lost in our community and saying, come and hear the good news of Jesus Christ and we'll feed you too? But the important thing is to be here, to learn about Jesus, to be part of this community that will share the gospel message of salvation with you. Is that what we are doing this coming Sunday? Wouldn't it be a shame if we ran out of chicken? Is our concern more about the lost souls to be saved or about the number of chickens we will have? God is doing an amazing thing here. God is calling us to call this community into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that we can be part of that relationship. So, will we come to the party? Will we invite others to the party? Will we seek them who are lost? Or will we just figure they went to somebody else's pasture and that's okay? Will we just say, well, and I don't believe any of us haven't done something similar to this. Oh, I'm sorry they're gone, but I do feel a little bit better they're not here. Have you ever done that? Sinners are broken people. We are broken people. Broken people are difficult to live with, to work with, to love. But think about this. God loves us. Every single one of us who is broken. God loves us in all our craziness. God loves us in all the strange things we do. And loves us enough that he died on the cross for us. So why can't we love each other the same way? So we're having a party next week. It's going to start here in worship at 11 o'clock. And who knows when it will end. And what my prayer is, and I hope it is yours, is that it will never end. That we will continue. Well, yeah, you can clean up the dishes and go home. But the party and the souls that we will be inviting to a saving relationship to Jesus Christ will just keep coming. Because God asked that of us. So are we ready? Are we ready to come and party? Look around and remember who's missing and know that God will not give up seeking the lost and will send someone to find them and is asking that it be you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.